Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly news roundup podcast, where we take a critical look at a number of topical developments from the past few days with a leadership and management theme. I am Rob Jones, content manager at the Institute, and in this podcast, we will be looking at news up to the 16th of March, 2020. Joining me to analyse these stories is Kate Cooper, Head of Research, Policy and Standards. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Rod.
Our first story, Kate, asks, what can we learn from a boss who put all staff on $70,000? US fintech entrepreneur Dan Price, who in 2015 put every member of his firm's staff on an annual salary of $70,000, has been back in the news with a recent BBC report looking at the outcomes of his decision. The piece explains that 5 years ago, Price was making $1.1 million per year from his business, Gravity Payments. However, his friend Valerie, an ex-soldier who was doing two jobs to survive, persuaded him that it was likely many of his staff were having financial difficulties and struggling to make ends meet. Following a brisk round of accounting, Price determined that a blanket salary of $70,000 for each and every employee would provide them with the necessary resources to improve their lives, as well as stimulating their motivation and engagement. Kate, what does this story tell us about leadership?
It certainly shows us how important financial security is for people in organisations. Our work with BITC, Business in the Community on Mental Health, has revealed this. Because, Rod, if you're worrying about money, how can you be concentrating on your job? And although we know money doesn't motivate, what it certainly does is remove lots of the other worries that enable you to focus on your job. A gesture like this from an entrepreneur like Dan Price is really sending a message about how much he values the contribution of the people that work for him. And I think the evidence, it's great that this is a follow-up story. It's worked. His company has grown exponentially. It's improved retention. People are actually now becoming healthier as a result of working there because they're not worrying about money anymore. It is such a great lesson. It's one that Charles Hamden Turner, our companion, often reminds us that ethical business pays.
Thank you very much, Kate. Our next story has a similar theme, and it looks at the impact of pay transparency on the gender wage gap. The recent research from PayScale discovered that the gender wage gap closes completely with increased pay transparency. Pay transparency does not mean that a company must disclose employee salaries. It does mean that employers foster open and honest discussions with their employees about how their pay is determined. The gender wage gap was non-existent for women who agreed that their organization's pay practices are transparent. The research team also looked at the impact of pay transparency across occupation and industry and found that the gender wage gap closed completely for 73% of industries and organizations. Those that didn't close completely still narrowed. While the research doesn't show exactly how transparency neutralizes the gender pay gap, the theory is that open and honest discussions about pay tend to force organizations to approach pay fairly using salary market data to inform compensation policies. It also tends to force companies to price the job, not the person, which helps to eliminate unconscious bias. Kate, what does this story tell us about the importance of being transparent when settling wages in an organisation?
I think your last sentence there, Rod, has really summed it up. If you're paying the job, not the person, you won't see ridiculous things in job advertisements that say salary commensurate with experience and qualifications. Because if that's your policy, it's invariably you're paying people on what they earn in their last job. They might be moving sectors, they might be moving industries, they might have actually reached their level of competence at their previous job. What a curious way to put a salary on a job. But it's a widespread practice, and this means that women are disadvantaged when they're returning to the labour market after perhaps having some time out, or in fact we know that the inequalities start before that. So if you know how much a job is worth, you don't start paying the person, you start paying for the job. And like it says, you don't have to pin a notice to a notice board with everybody's salaries, but everybody knows what you get enhanced pay for, what a salary earns. And that level of transparency means you're not going to be paying somebody because they earned X amount somewhere else.
Thank you very much, Kate. Our next story is taken from Study Finds, reporting a recent survey by one poll of 2,000 working Americans that found 60% of workers were too intimidated to tell their boss about problems. Among surveyed workers without an HR department in their company, 32% said they either have no idea who they are supposed to address problems or concerns with, or just wouldn't want to cause a fuss in the first place. Even among respondents with access to a human resource department, a startling 65% believe that HR really is looking out for the company's best interests, not the workers, which is probably why 23% say they've had a problem that they didn't bring to the attention of their human resources manager. Reasons for doing this included feeling uncomfortable going to HR, not knowing how to file a report, and even feeling intimidated by a boss and fear of retribution of being fired. Kate, what can leaders do to develop a culture of trust and support in their organisations?
I think what's interesting here is the fact that it's that you don't want to articulate the problem, whether that is somebody from HR or your own line manager. There seems to be something shameful about admitting that you're not at 100% fitness for work, whether that is a mental health issue, whether you've got financial problems, as we've been talking about, whether there are things going on in your life that means that you're distracted or you need time away. And the only way of helping and supporting people is to get to know the people that you manage, to understand what is normal for them, and to be genuinely and authentically helpful when times are difficult, because people will repay that loyalty to you. They will repay that trust. When times are going well, people will then be able to support and encourage each other. So it's that, again, talking about transparency there, it's okay to say you've got problems, because essentially we all do at some time. And how we get through those is so often with the help of our managers and our colleagues.
Thank you, Kate. And finally, in a week where coronavirus is still dominating the news, it is now clear that flexible working and working from home are fundamental issues that must be addressed by organisations. Kate, what can organisations do to make working from home a success?
Well, one of the immediate things they can do is to look at our free webinars, because we've addressed this problem immediately in terms of home working. It is an area that we've been campaigning for a number of years. One of the webinars last week is that very idea of crisis communication. And people, of course, with something like this, you cannot tell, that there is no certainty in terms of how many, how long. But what you can be very clear about is how you as an organisation are dealing with it. And I think one of the things many organisations are probably regretting is they didn't do more about training people to work at home. They didn't do more about getting the right technology in place. And it's far more than just having the kit, which of course is a great starting point, but it's helping people learn how to use video conferencing, how to conduct online meetings with people, to not default all the time to that informal chat that so many of us rely on in the office. We are putting out on our events channel a podcast devoted just to successful home working. So please do, everybody, listen to that.
Thank you, Kate. And that concludes this week's episode. Listeners can find further topical content in the News and Views section on the Institute's website at www.institutelm.com. And thank you once again, Kate, for your insights on these stories.
Thanks, Rod.